Praise the Lord, everybody. We're coming in and still finding seats. It must be Wednesday night. But I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord. It feels like forever since I've been here. It's been like 2 weeks. Thank you for your prayers. I am feeling much better. Now there's lots of other people who are struggling with sickness and things going around. It's just part of life, but I'm thankful for the prayers of brothers and sisters who help us get through things that we just have to go through. I can't imagine doing it without God and without this church family. So we welcome you tonight. Looks like church family here, but maybe you're visiting with us online. And if you are, there's a bit.ly link that we'd like for you to click on so we can get some more information from you. There it is. My son got there. The bit.ly link, just for you online. And if you're visiting in person and maybe I don't see your face, we'd like for you to stop out at the Welcome Center where you can actually talk to a person. You don't have to click on a link. Same thing, we'd like to connect with you. Giving options, giving to Jesus. We give of our time, we give of our finances. There's so many things that we give to him. But one of the greatest ways that we show that we trust him is when we're willing to let go of that hard-earned money. And we say, okay, Lord, you've blessed me with the skills to be able to receive this money, but I want to give it back to the kingdom and I want to invest it into something for eternity. Thank you for being willing to give. I am very, very thankful to be a part of a giving church and to really see the impact that the giving of your finances, not just here locally, you know, that's what keeps the lights on, what keeps the AC running, what will help to seal the parking lot, all the things that have to take place. But beyond that, are many, many missionaries who have been blessed because of your finances, both here in the States and throughout the world. So as we give, remember that the Lord can multiply. And as you open your hand and say, Lord, I trust you, he can take that and use it for his kingdom in ways that he needs. Sometimes people say, it's really hard. How am I going to meet the needs of my family? And I remember the years of struggling and wondering how it was going to work, raising young children. And I can promise you this, that the million-dollar check never arrived, but every need was met. Every need was met. Maybe not every want, but every need. And he takes care of us. And it isn't always necessarily in a financial blessing, though sometimes it is. But just give back to God. Be willing to give with a cheerful spirit, a cheerful heart that says, okay, God, I trust you to do what only you can do. So we have all these ways you can give online. You can give in person. You can give by mail, and you can give through our Church Center app. It feels like deja vu, and I think I announced this before, but the parking lot really is getting sealed tomorrow. The crew is showing up tomorrow morning at about 7:30. Please do not leave your vehicle here tonight. Please do not leave your vehicle in the church parking lot without calling the office and saying, hey, I'm going to park my vehicle here. It's been really fun chasing down people to get them to move their vehicles this week. So if you do want to park your car here overnight for any reason, we do understand there are some times where there's a need for that to happen. If you could just call us or send an email over to one of us and let us know and make us aware so that we aren't trying to figure out whose vehicle is here. Because we have had other vehicles left here that shouldn't be left here and we've had to have them removed. And I would hate to remove your vehicle and you come back and not find it. So just communicate and let us know. But again, the church lot will be sealed tomorrow, meaning the lot will be closed tomorrow and most of Friday. It should be ready for us to come into a freshly paved parking lot Friday night for prayer. If you do need to come to the church while the lot is closed, the service drive will be marked with cones, and you can take a bumpy ride across the grass and come in on this side of the building if you need to. Not if you want to snoop around and see what's happening, but if you really need to come here, you do have a way to come in. I know that VOSIS will be having prayer tomorrow night, so that will still be on. So just keep that in mind. And then, as I mentioned, Friday night, 7 p.m., we're going to come together as a body, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray together. There's just something about being in prayer with brothers and sisters that encourages us, it lifts us up. And you know what? We can't do that if you're not here. So I want to invite you tonight to be here Friday, 7 p.m. We will have prayer together. And then this Sunday at 7, you can come at 7 if you want. Start praying early. Nothing wrong with that. But at 11 a.m., so 10 a.m., we will have our regular teaching hour. We'll have our classes. And then at 11 a.m., Brother Morton Bustard will be with us. Invite somebody to come and come expecting. Come expecting. We should come to every service expecting. Expecting something beyond the norm. But especially this Sunday, we want to believe for something great to happen. And then looking ahead, August 15th through 17th is our Wisconsin District Men's Camp that will be held up at the campgrounds. Take some time off work if you can. Register. If you have any questions, you can see Pastor Jerry and he can give you details. If you'll stand with me this evening, we have a few needs that we want to go to the Lord for in prayer. One of those is our pastor. He's doing well, sporting a brand new bright blue cast on his foot. Even though he doesn't want to have a cast, he has one right now. He's resting well. Pray for Sister Lois. But pray that the Lord continues to heal him in this time. And it's difficult to go through the healing process, but it's so necessary. So just pray that what needs to happen will happen in his leg and his ankle. And then also we want to pray for Brother Larry Conley. He's been admitted to the hospital. Sounds like some possible kidney issues and heart issues. Are you waving at me or you want to say something? Sister Lois has poison ivy. Yes, she does. Pray for her to get over that as well. But Brother Larry Conley, sounds like a very serious thing that's going on right now. But we need the Lord to touch him in the hospital. Pray that his kidneys would begin to function as they need to, and whatever they need to do on his heart, that they would be able to do that. And then also, Sister Christina McKnight had a neck procedure done today, and she's got a lot of pain going on from that. So just pray that the Lord would minister healing to her. And then also, Zippy was readmitted to the hospital this week. My understanding is they're treating some symptoms and some things that are going on, nothing that's really life-threatening. But pray that the medical team would be guided to figure out what's causing these struggles that are there. And not only for him, but for his family. If you've ever gone through a long-term sickness, it's exhausting. It's exhausting for everybody around and the ups and the downs and the things that you have to go through. So lift up the family, encourage them in prayer. And one of the things, you know, everything that we go through, the Lord will use it for his glory. He'll use it if we allow it to become an opportunity. And an opportunity that came out of this, Grandma, great-grandma here, made a special shirt for Zippy that the pocket opens so that his port and everything for chemo, and a beautiful little snap on there. And she made one for them, for him specifically. And then the nurses asked her if she would be willing. I'm going to ask our ministers to come forward. They asked her to make more of these little shirts. I mean, these tiny, precious shirts for children who are going through chemo. But what we want to do with these shirts is we want to anoint them tonight. We don't know what children will wear these shirts, but we know that God's Spirit and His anointing can be where we cannot be. And what a beautiful opportunity for a situation that the family is going through. I'd also invite Andrew, if you want to come up here, and Grandma and Grandpa, if you want to come up here too, and aunts and uncles, you guys are all a part of this too. In every situation that we go through, we don't have to go through it alone. God's with us, and then He can help us to reach out to other people. And so tonight, as we pray for these needs, pray over these shirts, that whatever children wear these, that the anointing and the presence of God would be upon them. Let's pray together tonight, church family. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence that is here. We thank you for your peace that passes all understanding. God, we thank you that no matter what we face, whatever the day has been, no matter what kind of a day it's been, or a week it's been, or a month it's been, that you are present, God. And I pray tonight, Lord, that your Spirit that is here, that is moving, that is working, God, as we pray over these shirts that have been created for these children, Lord, these children who will wear these, who are going through chemo, who are going through a very challenging and difficult process, God, when they slip these shirts on, I pray that the peace of God, which is permeate across their bodies and across their minds and through the room and with their parents, God, Lord, that through this, Jesus, that they would have a sensitivity towards you, God, that you would open their hearts and their minds to receive from you something that they didn't even know that they needed. God, I thank you for a family that's willing to shine for you in a difficult time. And I pray, God, that you would just anoint this and that you would multiply it, God, that your presence would go. We thank you, Lord, for your hand that has been upon our pastor. And I pray, God, that you would continue to heal his ankle, that you would continue to heal his leg, and that you would refresh his spirit in this time of rest. God, that you would give him a rest, that you would give him a refreshing in his body, that you would be with him and Sister Lois. And God, I pray for Christina. I thank you, God, for your hand that has been upon her, this procedure that she's come through today. God, I thank you that you've gone with her through this, and I pray that you would just give her healing in her neck and strength in her mind and her spirit, God. We lift up Brother Larry to you, Jesus. And God, I ask that his kidneys would begin to function as you created them to function, that his heart would respond as it needs to respond, that you would give his medical team the guidance and the wisdom that they need, and that you would continue to put your hand upon Zippy, continue to strengthen that little boy's body, and whatever's going on right now, that you would just help his medical team to figure it out, and that you would walk with his family, God, that they would know that you were close, that you were near, that you would be an encouragement. And Father, I pray tonight for every one of us who are here or maybe watching online, God, that you would move and that you would minister in our hearts and our minds. God, that we would expect something from you more than just coming to a Wednesday night service. But God, that our hearts would become in tune and in line with your hearts. God, that we would feel your presence and your spirit, that your anointing would wash over us, Father. Nothing else matters. But you, God, help us not to forget. That's the reason that we come together. That's the reason that we're in your house tonight, God. And I pray, Lord, that your spirit would be released and that your liberty and your freedom would just wash over us, that the joy of the Lord would be our strength in all things and in everything, Jesus. I give you glory and I lift you up, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Of his believe hell has lost its power. And as we sing, we believe revival is breaking out. And as we sing, we believe that this is a great awakening. Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Demons, bid the end.
begins to fall, Jesus, in a new way, in a mighty way, Jesus. We love you, God. We worship you, Jesus.
They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will be.
Grave, God, we believe no matter what. Praise the Lord, everybody. Awesome, beautiful day today. Anybody get outside? Or we just, like, sometimes, you know, you kind of go through life from car to building to car to building to car to building, and you forget to look up and see there's a sun outside and clouds and trees. But today I got to look around a little bit outside, and I was like, wow, it's a really nice day. So thankful for great days and Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to do something a little different than our typical Wednesday night. I don't know, we do something different every Wednesday night now, it seems, lately. So a few months back, we had a district conference. At our district conference, our North American Missions director, Brother Hanthorne, he's been on a mission statewide to promote and to recast an old vision. And the old vision is that to bring back Bible studies as a forefront evangelistic and discipleship tool in our local churches. This vision was not, I know Brother Hanthorne, he's hardcore Bible study teacher. Everything in his entire church revolves around the Bible study. His first impressions system is Bible study driven. Everything is trying to get someone into the Bible study. They believe that that is the method of their entire church, and everything kind of flows that way. But I know the original person to put this vision out for the district was actually Brother Booker. He asked Brother Hanthorne to get this back. And anyone from Calvary from a long time back, maybe a couple decades back, do you remember the big push for home Bible studies? If you know, raise your hand and shake it. I need to see some confirmation. Okay, I'm in the right church. So we're not casting a new vision tonight at all. This is an old vision. In fact, it's an ancient vision. And so if Jessup, are we able to start working on? Oh, slides aren't working now, huh? No slides? Oh, I took the jump drive, and now I have that in my office. And you didn't take it off the jump drive. Oh, well, we're not going to have slides tonight. That being said, I am going to wing it. All right. So let's talk a little bit about Bible studies, and I'm just going to have to go by faith. I shouldn't have preached about that Sunday morning, because here I am. That's not the jump drive. That's not the one I'm talking about at all, Brother Kryaski. That's not going to do anything for us, brother, but that's okay. Sister Jess, we'll go real slow then. Can you take us to 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17? And if you have your Bibles, we're in Bible study tonight. We'll just go and take a look, all right? 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Amen. And so we know when we look at scripture that every bit of scripture that has been put into the Bible that we believe has been divinely kept and processed and put out there for us to have in this day and age, even so many thousands of years since it all began, we believe that every single scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, amen, and for reproof and correction. And so that's why to have Bible studies, not just in an evangelistic setting, but have Bible studies in your home, Bible studies with your family. It's so important for us to be studying Bible, studying Scripture. And so we're going to go to Acts chapter 5, verse number 42. And it says there that, and daily in the temple that they met, and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. And so you'll see there's two places here that the scripture in Acts chapter 5 is showing where people are meeting and to teach and to preach. The first one is mentioned as the synagogue. So obviously the first bit of believers, they were all Jewish, and so they all met at the synagogue. They had not left their Jewish traditions much into Acts chapter 15. It was still very much a custom. In fact, we can see it for decades to come in some of the sects of Christianity. But I want to point out what this says in the rest of the scripture. It says, and in every house, in every house, in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. And so when we look at this, we know that Bible studies are more than just a church program or a church growth method. Now, what has happened is in times past, they've taken the Bible study words, the two things, home Bible study, right? And that has become a brand. When you brand three words in your mind, it's hard to break a brand. But the truth of the matter is that home Bible study is not a brand. It's what the church did. It's an action. Home Bible study is not a brand. And so the problem with our church now, many decades later, is that when we say home Bible study, we think of the brand of the idea that you use a home Bible study that is prepackaged for evangelism to reach the lost. But that's not exactly what home Bible study is. Home Bible study is while you're at home, you study the Bible. And what has happened is those that knew the power of home Bible study, they decided to package it in such a way that many people could use it that weren't as prepared as they were possibly. And so we know that every single house in the early church became its own synagogue, so to speak. It became a church. Hey, we got something. Thank you, Jess. You would not believe. when I showed up, the jump drive, I asked and I said, "Will a jump drive work?" And I have a video and a presentation on that jump drive, and neither one of them worked. And so I went and tried to change them, and I came back and did a lot of crazy things. And while I was trying to talk to Jess, because she was trying to run the front here, front of house, and if you'll look, she's at the back of the house, running the back of the house on the projector. And so she, as soon as she got done from here, she zoomed back there. And while I was trying to have a conversation with her, because that was the only moment I was going to get, we had the fastest paced song that we've ever sang on a Wednesday night. And not only that, is that instead of throwing all of the verse up there, it was every three words was a whole nother slide. And so she's bouncing back there trying to jump to the slides while I'm trying to have a conversation. And I thought, you know, me and her just had a big, long laugh. And I decided that the media probably wasn't going to be working. But thank you, Jess, for doing that. And so I have in this slide, I just have the synagogue there, but I have three houses. By the way, you know what? Let's stop for a second. Can we just do something? Can we just do something right now? We need help in the media department. Let's just stop the service right now. Jess should not have to be doing, she shouldn't have to throw the football and catch the football. And so is there anybody here that would tonight sign up and help Jess with media because we don't have enough people? We have to have some help. I know this is a hard sell, but Jess needs to get free from that little room back there and be Reverend Jess Wright, you know, in our church. Amen. And so if you have a passion for projection or seeing software function sometimes, this will be a great opportunity for you to give us some hand, and we really do appreciate it. And so if you look at my slide back into the presentation here, we have a synagogue there, but then we have three houses. Jess, can you go to the next slide? What has happened is the Bible studies are more than just a church program or a church growth method, but in the New Testament, every single house became a church. It became a point of faith. It became a place where people met and they prayed. It became a place where people met and they studied scripture and they shared their faith. They came together, they sang songs, they broke bread together, and they had church in their house. Now, there's a lot of crazy, weird doctrines based on these scriptures that would try to say that we shouldn't be meeting in a church building like this, but that's simply not the case. because we see that they met in any place that they could get. They met in the synagogues. They met in the streets. They met on the riverbanks. They met at homes. They met everywhere. They met on Mars Hill if they had to. And so if you just go on to the next slide for me, Jess, I appreciate it. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Acts chapter 8, verse number 4. And so we know that the church is not a building, right? The church is not a synagogue. It's not a church building. It doesn't have a steeple. The church is the people. The church is the people who are called to be saints. They're the ones who have been filled with the Holy Ghost. And so I, just for the sake of making sure that that was clear tonight, I put those map pins on top of some of those people there, that they are the church. Amen. Wherever they go, that's where the church is. And we are the same. When we're filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a little map pin floating around above our head. And people can see that sometimes. They know when push comes to shove, go to the map pin and see. You know, they might have an answer out of Scripture, or maybe they'll pray for you. And so, Jess, would you mind flipping to the next slide for me? What has happened is those who had been scattered and preached the word everywhere, they went out. And so Bible studies became the mission of the church. Everywhere they went, it turned into kind of a wildfire. And so the gospel spread. It spread from city to city. If you read the book of Acts, it's like from one city to the next city to the next city to the next city to the next city. And so those map pins began to pop up and populate all over the Middle East. They populated all over the continent of Europe, all the way to Rome. You see map pins, where believers have entered into synagogues, believers had entered into houses, and it spread like wildfire. Amen. Next slide, please. So what is a Bible study? This is a question that has to be answered tonight. And so let's define what a Bible study is once and for all. I don't know how many times I've had this battle. I don't want to have it again. So the definition of a Bible study is studying the Bible with others, okay? That's the definition. So say it with me, studying the Bible with others. So what qualifies as a Bible study? Studying the Bible with others. It's not just with new converts. It's not just with backsliders. It's not just with people who've never heard the gospel. It's not with people who have already had a Bible study, but now they don't. A second one doesn't count. That's not how this works. It's not defined by all these definitions and ways that we can split it up and make it hard to understand. The simple truth is studying the Bible is just like it was in the book of Acts. It's where people get together house to house, their families, who all, some were believers, some obviously not. Many were new converts. Maybe people were converted there that night when they met. But studying the Bible with others is what a Bible study is. And so Bible studies are the fundamental way for a church or an individual to live out the mission of Jesus Christ. And so we go to the next slide here. Bible studies are the key in bringing people to conversion, but it's also crucial for discipleship, and it's also essential for personal devotion. You show me a Christian who's no longer studying the Bible with others, and you'll eventually see someone who's losing the battle of faith. They're no longer engaging with God. They're starting to lose ground with God because they're no longer finding God in Scriptures. They're no longer coming together for discipleship. They're no longer even trying to invite anybody to study the Bible with them so that they might be converted. So let's say it with me. Conversion, discipleship, devotion. These are the three reasons why we have Bible studies. And so let's go on to the next scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." It was very important for the early church that every single believer was equipped to rightly divide the word of truth. They came together so they could study Scripture, so that they could share their faith with each other. And every time they come together, just like we do, they found something new about God that they might not have known before they came together. Amen. And so let's go on to the next scripture. These are the three areas that I just mentioned: evangelism, devotion, discipleship. Those three areas, if you look, it's just three different categories that we can find. But they really do line up with Calvary Gospel's big mission of reaching out, reaching up, and reaching in. Reaching out in evangelism, reaching up in devotion, and reaching in discipleship. And so Bible studies are the core DNA of Calvary Gospel Church. They always have been. They're never going to go away. And if we want to be a strong church, we want to be a church that's on the move, we want to be a church that's growing, we want to be a church that the city recognizes, it won't be because we have great worship environments. There's many churches in this area that have amazing worship environments. It won't be because we have the best kids program. And I want the best kids program. I want the best worship environment. But the thing that will be known about the Apostolic Church in Madison is because they know the Scriptures. They know the Bible, and they teach the Bible. And wherever you go, if you find an apostolic in Madison, they're going to show you the Scriptures. They're going to show you where God is in the Bible. They're going to bring you to the pages of the Bible. That's what's different about us. We can do a lot of things that are similar to other churches, but if we lose the DNA of Bible study, we have lost it all. Amen. Next scripture. I'm sorry. Next slide. And so the statement has been made. The greatest resource for any local church is a well-trained and highly motivated labor force. And so I like how the labor force of the military is divided up into four huge categories. You got the Air Force, the Marines, the Army, the Navy. And so for us, we have men's ministry, ladies ministry, hyphen ministry, youth ministries. These are ministries. Now, we have lots of other things going on in our church. We have church plants. We have small groups of all kinds. We have connection groups. But really, these are the groups that should be meeting regularly and discussing Scripture. These are the groups for men, and we do this monthly. All our men get together, and we break open the Bible together. Every single time we open the Bible, and we share with each other what we are seeing in Scripture. We'll do it again this month. Ladies ministry, I know that's what you're doing. Hyphen ministry, I know that's what you're doing. I know that you're out there, CMI. I know you're praying in the streets. I know that's what you're doing. Youth ministries, my daughter's in youth. I see the devotions that you're putting out every single couple days. You're posting devotions from your leaders. I know this is what we're doing. But what I'm saying is that we can do more, amen? We can do more. And so let's go on to the next slide, Jess. So here we are. We are this group. This is CGC. This is ADHD in one picture of what a church is. This is probably driving some of you nuts, but this is the way I see it. I see we're a large group of people. Some of us split up into these other groups, but individually we're all called to be the church. Amen. We're all called to be the church, and we all go wherever it is that God calls us that day to go. Amen. And so next slide, Jess, I appreciate you following along with me. Do you understand what you are reading? This is the scripture, Acts chapter 8, verse number 30 through 35. This is whenever Philip comes in contact with the Ethiopian eunuch. And he's reading scripture, trying to understand for himself. Without the gift of the Holy Ghost, it would have been impossible. Without the understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it would have been completely impossible for him to ever know. But because Philip was the church that day, he was able to show the Ethiopian eunuch where Jesus was in the scripture that he was reading, and bring him to Christ that day. They baptized him on the side of the road. And so this is our duty, just like Philip. This is our duty every day to be a witness, just like Philip was that day. Amen. But how can we, unless we become that preacher, so to speak? Now, some people are scared of that word because of the all the denominations have made it so many things, even our own. But at the end of the day, every witness is there is a preacher in their own right. Because a witness is someone who has to speak out loud on behalf of what they have seen, what they know, what they believe. Amen? That's what a witness is. You are someone who speaks out loud to testify of what you believe, what you've seen, and what you know. If you say, I'm not a preacher, you're saying you're not a witness. And I'm a little scared for you because I believe that all of us who have been filled with the Holy Ghost are called to be witnesses. Amen? Acts chapter 1:8. We have to be able to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Amen. And so anyone can be a part of a Bible study. And this is something, this is one of these dogmatic problems that we have in the apostolic church is that we, when we say home Bible study, we believe the people that are in the Bible study, if they have been, if they're a sinner, then that qualifies them. But if they're a saint, then that's not a Bible study. Even if they don't know anything you're talking about and they really do need to be in the room. They don't qualify if they received the Holy Ghost last week. It's no longer a Bible study because this week they're a saint, right? And so it's not a Bible study because that person doesn't qualify. Or new converts, they don't qualify for Bible studies. Now it's discipleship. We got to change it. That's not really okay. Backsliders, same thing. Well, you've known this for your whole life, and now you want to come back. Well, sometimes backsliders need a Bible study. They need to be retaught the things they know. They need to have a little brush up, amen, to go back through it. And I'll tell you what, if you're someone sitting in the seat and you're feeling a little dull in your faith, I'm telling you today, start a Bible study. Start a Bible study. Start a Bible study, amen. Every creature in between, wasn't it Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Why are we trying to say that that's not the kind of creature you should be teaching a Bible study to or preaching to? No, every single person qualifies for a Bible study. And so let me qualify that for a moment. If you're at home and your parents of teenage kids, you can start a Bible study with your children, and it qualifies as a Bible study. If you are a small group and say that you're the ladies that, who are meeting here on Tuesday mornings and you're reading through those books together, but you decide we want to move to something more biblical, you know, I'm not even sure what you're reading, but you want to move into just like a Bible-based meeting occasionally and you want to start meeting together and studying the Bible. That's a Bible study, and you can invite friends and guests and everyone in between to your Bible study. Now that's a Bible study. Praise God, because you're the church and you should be having Bible studies wherever you are. In fact, every single day when we read the Bible, we're having a Bible study by ourselves. And so there's no difference between that and studying with others besides the fact that we get to share our faith and share our knowledge together. And so let's not complicate it, Bible studies. And so at one point in time, we've done a lot of things to try to count how many people we've had in Bible studies. We had 250 people in Bible studies. And then people criticize, like, hey, well, that's not 250. You know, this guy was teaching his 10 kids. You know, it's, why are we doing that? What does it matter if who we're teaching a Bible study to if we're trying to teach a Bible study? Let's just teach Bible studies. And so I don't care. Let's forget about the numbers. Let's just teach a lot of Bible studies. Amen. That's the way I see it. And so there are, Sister Jess, will you turn to the next one for me? I appreciate it. There are always short Bible studies for those who don't feel qualified or they don't feel like they know enough about the entire Bible. There are short Bible studies that introduce the bare essentials of salvation. They're great if the window of opportunity is small or you fear you may never see this person again or you're only going to get one shot. This is the Bible study you keep tucked in your Bible, and you're always ready. You read this thing every month or so, or maybe every couple weeks. Maybe you study it before you think that you're going to, you know, ask the person, and you've got this thing memorized. It's only about 5 or 6 pages. Anyone can do this. In fact, that fourth Bible study to the right is a place prepared for you. I was preaching in Canada about 15 years ago, and I was preaching at a youth event in the middle of nowhere. There wasn't a church for 3 hours, and I felt on a Friday night at a youth function that I was supposed to get up and read that Bible study. I was like, what am I doing, God? I'm supposed to be preaching. And so I read the Bible study page for page at a youth event, and two young girls got the Holy Ghost, just me reading the Bible study. And it wasn't because I'm such an awesome reader, because I'm not. But I promise you, they just work. If you'll just read the thing out loud, it'll work. Because the Word of God is already anointed. Like, your reading skills can't make the Word of God less anointed. It might be hard to hear you, or it might be hard to get it all in, but at the end of the day, once it sinks in what God has said through the Word of God, it will be effective. Amen. And so, not a large commitment for these short Bible studies. They're easy to learn. They're easily taught. They're easily repeated. They're portable. They're quick and they're cheap. We give them away like water here at Calvary Gospel Church. They do have an expense. We appreciate you guys supporting outreach, paying for these things. But if you need one and you can't afford one, we'll put one in your hand. It won't be a problem. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about the old way. It's called a comprehensive Bible study. Some people say the 10 or 12 week. This one is actually what I would like to see us going back to more often. And the reason why, let me explain. This teaches people how to use their Bible. You can buy a man a fish, or you can teach him how to fish. I was really glad when someone showed me how to use my Thompson Chain Bible. I didn't know how to use it. Now I'm mostly on web-based Bible apps because they're so much faster and they're portable in my pocket. But I remember the day when someone showed me how the pages were set up and how to use cross-references and why that thing was in the back and what this thing was in the front and all of those things. And so it teaches you how to use scriptures, how to use the Bible. And so it creates a complete view of Scripture as well. When you take someone from Genesis all the way to Revelation, the view that they have of God is much different than the Bible study in the bag. The Bible study in the bag just says, you're a sinner, you need to get baptized, you need to get the Holy Ghost and live a good life. But when you see God from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you see how he has tried to get in the hearts of man from the very beginning. It's such an awesome thing to see that and to feel it. But you can't, that's not something you can let go of easily, amen? And so it introduces important biblical doctrines and themes. There's things that you can't get without someone holding your hand and walking you through step by step through a comprehensive Bible study. There's just things that can't be done unless someone just is willing to slow down with you and bring you through it. Amen? And so this also builds a biblical foundation and establishes apostolic doctrine through multiple witnesses, and it builds long-term relationships, which is something you can't do in a one-hour Bible study. You can break bread with somebody 12 weeks and spend hours, probably 20, 30, 40 hours with them just looking at Scripture, their life will be changed. Amen. Next slide. And so where can you have a Bible study? Well, you can have a home Bible. You can have a home Bible study with your family. You can have a Bible study in a school or a P7 club. I've had Bible studies in Culver's and McDonald's this month. You can have Bible studies in bookstores. You can have Bible studies in coffee shops and libraries and city parks. You can have Bible studies outside under a tree. You can have Bible studies at work break rooms. You can have Bible studies in the homes of sinners or the homes of saints. You can have Bible studies here at church. If you have nowhere else to go, we'll open the door for you. You can have Bible studies in prisons and jails. You can have Bible studies in buses and planes, trains and automobiles. And you think that's funny, but how many times have you heard of the person, they ended up in the seat and they didn't really want to be there, but they ended up for 3 hours teaching someone a Bible study on a plane? And so the Scripture says to go into the highways and the byways, amen? And then we do that in cars, airplanes, and so that's the way we do it. Now, I'm suggesting to you, if you do go into the highway and the byway, don't take it literally and sit down in the middle of the road, but, you know, take an exit and find a Culver's, amen? And so the impact that Bible study culture has had in Calvary Gospel Church, this is the impact it has on every kind of church. But this is, next slide, Jess, I'm sorry. this is the impact that it's had on Calvary Gospel Church. This is what I've heard. I've heard it said it's led to spiritual health within the church. It's prevented new people from falling through cracks. It's reduced frustrations and given everyone an outlet for ministry. And Max Lucado said, when fishermen don't fish, they fight. Well, that's true. And so I oftentimes when I find someone that's pretty crabby in the church and I can't really figure it out, I often challenge them to find a Bible study and teach a Bible study. And I'll tell you what, it lets off a lot of steam to know you're doing the will of God. And how easy is it to do the will of God? It's just part of the Great Commission to go and to teach and to preach. And so it's easy as this. Grab your Bible, find a friend, sit down, start reading. You're doing the Great Commission, amen? And it's that easy. And so it creates a love for the Word of God, amen? It allows for ministry development in very organic ways. This is so important. I believe that this is a kitchen table. This is the way I see it. This is just a kitchen table. And we break bread over here. We call it the communion. But the kitchen table at your home can be just as holy as this holy pulpit. You can have just as much prayer at that kitchen table. You can have just as much preaching at that kitchen table. If you are willing to schedule it, and you're willing to maintain it, and you're willing to do it, your own kitchen table can have more preaching this week than this pulpit. And that, I don't see it. I don't see this as I don't see this as divine furniture. I see this as just a representation of the kitchen table that should be in everyone's home, that where the Bible is opened up and food is shared and friends enjoy each other and they all study the Word of God. And so let's look again. Got off track here. Said it creates a great sense of connection to the body. It enhances biblical literacy to the entire church. And so important. And so I want you to go to the next slide, Jess, if you wouldn't mind. Madison is a great city. Say it with me. Madison is a great city. It's beautiful. Beautiful lakes, beautiful architecture, beautiful churches, beautiful college buildings, beautiful people, beautiful culture. They only need one thing. They need the gospel. They need the gospel. And so the Great Commission and the Madison Commission are the same. The great city, the Great Commission, the Madison Commission is the same. It's Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Luke 24:47 says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. All the world, all nations. All nations, amen. We have a multicultural city of every nation, probably known to man. Little groups of people all over Madison speak different languages. They eat different food. They dress different. They smell different. I spent some time in an Indian restaurant recently. My wife loves Indian food. I'm not such a great fan. I feel like it's hamburger helper with curry. I don't know. But at the end of the day, it's a different group of people. It's someone else, someone interesting to reach, amen? And so I'm asking you tonight, if you go to the next slide, this is very simple. It's kind of funny. You can all stand. A couple of months ago, Pastor Roy was just preaching away, and he said the mission of Calvary Gospel Church is simply this: go. And our pastoral staff all kind of looked at each other like, I don't remember us talking about the mission statement of the church changing. I don't think he was trying to change the mission statement of the church. I think he was trying to unite us with the original mission statement of the church. And that is to simply go. And so I'm asking you today, if you're a Christian, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and you want to do something good for God, there is no simpler way to do it than through a Bible study. And if you don't feel qualified, then that's probably because you haven't been doing it for yourself. When you study the Bible for yourself, that is how you get qualified. And so find somebody, find a friend. Go to a coffee shop, hang out, open the Bible. It doesn't have to be an hour. It can be 5 minutes. It can be 10 minutes. It can be an hour. It can be 10 hours. It doesn't matter because there's no time frames on how long or how short a Bible study has to be or how many weeks you do it. All of these definitions and all this stuff, we need to throw all that stuff in the garbage. What we need to do is just do the thing. Go. Take our Bibles. Find somebody and teach them. And so today I've asked Brother Krajewski. Brother Krajewski has been over our Bible study stuff for a very long time. I don't know how long. A few years, right? Yeah. And so he's been managing the resources, and we keep replenishing. We give them out. And so what I'm asking is this, is that you approach this altar call with a blank slate. If you're teaching a Bible study and you got two going this week, that's awesome. Still, blank slate. If you haven't taught a Bible study in a year, still, same thing, blank slate. If you've never taught a Bible study, blank slate. It doesn't matter. Let's just look at it with a blank slate. Let's just look at it from a scriptural perspective. This is the DNA of the Apostolic Church. This is the calling. This is the commission. This is the simple things that we're required to do. A lot of us don't really argue about paying tithes or supporting the church. But this is how you support the church biblically in a doctrinal way, in a missional way. This is the way you do it. This is the way you express your faith. You express your faith by sharing the word of God with others as a witness. Not just your personal testimony, which is good, but also apt to teach, ready to lead, ready to show, ready to be the one who brings someone to Christ biblically. Every single instance that we have in Scripture of someone coming to conversion, we have this Q&A Bible study moment where people are asking questions. Their questions are being answered with Scripture, and they say yes. That's all we're doing here. Nothing complicated. And so today I'm asking you, it's 8:05. I'm asking you to come down here, just take a look at these materials and start with a clean slate and say, God, I want to be what you want me to be, which is a disciple. I want to do what you want me to do, which is go. And I want to reach who you want me to reach, which is the lost. It's very simple. And so tonight, would you just come on down and just pray that God would lead you? Brother Krajewski, he's going to help you out. If you want some resources, we can get you more. We got them on digital. We're going to keep on doing this. This is not a one-night thing. This is a culture thing. We're trying to get the culture of Bible studies back to the forefront of Calvary Gospel Church. And so we just ask you to help us, support us. If you want to buy Bible studies for others, you can do that. But it's up to all of us to be the church. Amen.
Thank you.
wondering how many people here, if you can still hear me, I know we're talking a little bit, but just give me one moment. Just one moment. Thank you. I'm asking you, if you're here tonight and you want to pledge that you'll teach a Bible study before the end of the year, one Bible study, would you raise your hand and take the pledge with us? We'll see. If you want to just stretch your faith out a little bit, would you just pledge with me right now, before the end of the year, you'll teach us one Bible study and see how it goes by faith? Would you just do that with me? I think God will honor that pledge, and I think He might just fill your house up. Amen. And I'm just so glad to be here with you guys tonight. We're looking forward to corporate prayer this Friday night. And we just are so blessed this week. Thank you all who have honored the prayer and fasting this week. And we just look forward to seeing you on Friday night and again on Sunday. You are dismissed. God bless you. If you want to get some resources or want to talk about or put an order in, just get yourself down here and talk with Brother Ted tonight. Thank you. God bless you. You're dismissed.